It's Thursday, September 3rd, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you here. I'm happy to announce the formation of the brand new Southern California Normal, which will be taking care of San Diego, Riverside, and Imperial counties in the southernmost part of the Golden State. For more information, email Craig Barish at sbcglobal.net. That's C-R-A-I-G-B-E-R-E-S-H. at sbcglobal.net. A lot of folks probably think California is some sort of pot paradise, and compared to a lot of places it is, but that doesn't mean we don't need normal chapters there. We've already got a few, but it's such a big state with such a big population that we could always use more. If you're in California and you'd like to form a normal chapter, send me an email at stash@normal.org. Of course, today is the kickoff of the college football season, and that begins a little bit of fun for me and some of the other stashers at stash.normal.org as we root for our favorite teams. I'm, of course, an alumnus of Boise State University, go Broncos, who kick off the season today on the Smurf Turf in Boise, Idaho, against the University of Oregon Ducks. Kind of a funny story. I was a freshman at Boise State when the blue turf was first installed in 1986, and the joke that was going around at the time was that ducks were crash landing on the blue turf because they were diving into it thinking it was a lake. Well, let's hope some ducks do a little crash landing tonight. And I got an email that was congratulating me on the debut of Normal Show Live, but it also made a warning that sometimes I come off cocky on this show, the Daily Audio Stash. Maybe that's true. Maybe I am a little bit cocky, but you know, when you've got truth, facts, and logic on your side, it's hard not to be cocky. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere. It's time to take a look at the normal calendar of events at normal.org/calendar, which will be upgraded over the weekend so that when you go to the calendar, it will display the times in your home time zone. That'll be a big help. The calendar this weekend is all about Nebraska. The new Nebraska Normal is doing some sign holding at 16th and O Streets at the Lincoln Federal Building for changing marijuana laws. This is a good way to get people involved and get people attracted to your chapter by just protesting, not for any particular reason, but just to stand out there on a regular Friday and let people know that you support changing marijuana laws. If you make it a regular thing, you'll find more and more people coming to the protests, and you'll start to get more and more attention from the public. Also on Sunday, Normal Nebraska is holding their open meeting. This will be at the Coffee House Panache at 13th and P Street. Looks like it's going to be at 2 p.m. local time. In the media, we've got Cannabis Common Sense Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific time. You can catch that live on Ustream.tv. I should be on the show, as well as Madeline Martinez, and we'll be discussing the latest in cannabis news and information. And of course, Saturday is the debut of Normal Show Live, Normal's first live interactive 2-hour talk radio program, available at live.normal.org every Saturday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Our guests this weekend include Paul Armentano from Normal, Steve Fox from MPP, and Mason Tevert from Safer, the co-authors of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, will also join us to inaugurate the show. And in our second hour, we'll be speaking with professional mixed martial arts champion Toby Greer from TrueWarriorFitness.com. He's been banished from fighting in California because of testing positive for his use of medical marijuana. He's now engaged in the fight to have medical marijuana removed from the list of banned substances for California fighters and athletes. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin with your hemp headlines, including the tragic story of a 28-year-old Georgia pastor who was shot at a convenience store gas station by Georgia drug agents on the suspicion he was involved in a drug deal. More murder and mayhem in Mexico from Ciudad Juarez, where 17 people in a rehab were lined up and shot execution-style by drug cartels. And the Wall Street Journal reports on the explosion of Mexican cartel pot plantations in our national forests. For our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we feature music from Happy Bones for our Rockin' Thursday and his song Sativa Sanctuary. In our interview segment today, we bring you the California Marijuana Report that was due for Tuesday. In this California Marijuana Report, we look at Contra Costa County and the artwork of Stoner Dude, whose art was picked for the AKA Tommy Chong movie, and his band Bong plays on the report. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Georgia drug agents shoot and kill pastor, leaves behind wife and unborn child, no drugs found. From WYFF-TV, Stevens County, Georgia. A pastor was shot and killed following a drug sting in Stevens County, Georgia on Tuesday, and the officers involved and friends of the pastor are giving different versions of what led up to the shooting. The Stevens County coroner confirmed that 28-year-old Jonathan Ayers was pronounced dead at Stevens County Hospital on Tuesday. Ayers, a father-to-be, was the pastor of the Shoal Creek Baptist Church. He maintained a personal blog linked off the church's webpage, jonathanayers.blogspot.com. Sheriff Randy Shirley said that officers had been involved in an undercover drug sting at an unnamed establishment in Toccoa. He said the target of the sting was a passenger in Ayers' car. Shirley said Ayers dropped the woman off and went to the Shell station. He said the officers followed Ayers there. Shirley said outside the Shell station, the plainclothes officers identified themselves with a badge. The officers said that Ayers put his car in reverse and struck an agent. They said they opened fire on Ayers when he drove toward the second officer. Two shots were fired in the car, one hit Ayers. The officers said Ayers sped away and crashed about a half mile from the Shell station. They said they found him conscious and alert, but he died a short time later. The woman who was the subject of the drug sting was arrested, but police are not identifying her yet. She is charged with selling cocaine. Other charges against her are pending. Investigators said they did not find drugs in Ayer's car. Just how dangerous must this woman have been to have three undercover plainclothes officers firing bullets around a public gas station? Apparently dangerous enough to risk hitting a gas pump and causing a huge explosion that could have killed everyone at this busy gas station in broad daylight. So why did the pastor flee when police, quote, identified themselves with a badge, end quote? Well, when you have three aggressive men not dressed like cops running towards you in a public place waving guns, you might just not notice the badges. If, indeed, the cops aren't lying about producing the badges. Or maybe the pastor was having an affair with the woman and didn't want his pregnant wife to find out. Maybe he saw the badges, but the woman was a prostitute and he didn't want the negative press for his church. Or maybe he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person. One of the many emails received by WYFF News 4 said, quote, Tuesday, September 1st, 2009, Jonathan Ayers was shot and killed by a Toccoa police officer. Ayers was at a walk-up ATM machine to get money to have tires put on his wife's car. After getting his money, he saw men running at him. Thinking he was to be robbed, he ran for his car. He was shot through the door, and the bullet went through his lung and liver. He eventually wrecked his car and was taken to Stevens County Hospital. The bleeding of his liver could not be stopped, and Ayers died in surgery. Later, it was found that the police officer who shot him thought Ayers was involved in a drug deal. When Ayers ran, the officers fired. End quote. News 4's Keisha Foster spoke to a woman outside Shoal Creek Baptist who identified herself as Jonathan Ayers' sister-in-law. She described him as a, quote, godly man, end quote. She said there are, quote, a lot of lies going around about what happened, and the police department is trying to cover up what they did, end quote. The two agents are on administrative leave with pay until the investigation is complete. The war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs demonizes and dehumanizes to such an extent that on the mere suspicion that a man might be buying them from a woman, police feel justified in shooting at the suspect in a crowded public place, risking a devastating gasoline explosion by doing so. Shoot first, get a paid vacation from work, and apologize to the pregnant widow later. 17 people lined up and shot execution style inside drug rehab in Juarez, Mexico. From Comcast.net, Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. Gunmen broke into a drug rehabilitation center, lined people against a wall, and shot 17 dead in a particularly bloody day in Mexico's relentless drug war. The brazen attack followed the killing of the number two security official in President Felipe Calderón's home state. The attackers on Wednesday broke down the door of El Alivian Center in Ciudad Juarez, lined up their victims against a wall, and opened fire, said Arturo Sandoval, a spokesman for the regional prosecutor's office. At least five people were injured. Authorities had no immediate suspects or information on the victims. Ciudad Juarez, across the border from El Paso, Texas, is Mexico's most violent city, with at least 1,400 people killed this year alone. I can't quite figure out the motivation for gunning down people in rehab. Usually these cartels are targeting police, federal officials, and rival cartels. Maybe some of the people in the rehab were formerly involved with the cartels and trying to go straight. It's a shame. Duck and cover isn't usually covered in the 12 steps. Gunmen killed the number two security official and three other people in Calderón's home state of Michoacán, where the government is locked in an intensifying battle with the ruthless La Familia cartel, blamed for a string of assassinations of police and soldiers. José Manuel Revuelta, who was promoted less than 2 years ago to state deputy public safety director, is the highest-ranking government official killed in the wave of assassinations sweeping Michoacán, the cradle of La Familia drug cartel. Attackers drove up alongside Revuelta as he headed home and opened fire, State Attorney General Jesus Montejano said. Revuelta tried to speed away, but only made it a few blocks before he was intercepted by two vehicles. Six gunmen got out and sprayed Revuelta's car with bullets, killing him. Two bodyguards and a truck driver caught in the crossfire, Montejano said. Sounds like a scene from a Hollywood movie, but this is the reality many Mexicans live with every day, just like Chicagoans in the 1920s. Calderon first launched his crackdown against drug cartels in Michoacán, sending thousands of federal police and soldiers to his home state after taking office in late 2006. Tens of thousands more have since been deployed to drug hotspots across Mexico. Drug gang violence has since surged, claiming more than 13,500 lives, including more than 1,000 police officers. Calderon defended his battle against drug trafficking in a speech to Congress on Wednesday. He said the government has taken on the cartels as no previous Mexican administration has dared to do. The president told legislators, quote, "As never before, we have weakened the logistical and financial structure of crime," end quote. You might say we've turned a corner in battling the cartels and that the insurgency is in its last throes, huh, Mr. Cheney? Calderon? That's the problem with putting a medical issue in the hands of warriors. War is their justification, not public health. Is the violence subsiding? Or are there fewer people using drugs? Great. That means the drug war is working. Let's keep at it. Is the violence increasing? Or are there more people using drugs? Well, that must mean we're not fighting the drug war hard enough. Let's redouble our efforts. Never can it be uttered that perhaps the drug war itself is the problem, for it is always drugs that are the problem, and war is the only solution. Wall Street Journal, pot plantations on the rise. Marijuana growers, many believed to be affiliated with Mexican drug cartels, are aggressively expanding their illegal farming operations in the U.S., clearing land to plant pot in dozens of national forests from coast to coast. Authorities have discovered pot farms in 61 national forests across 16 states this year, up from 49 forests in 10 states last year. New territories include public land in Colorado, Wisconsin, Michigan, Alabama, and Virginia. With the expansion comes an increased risk to campers and hikers, a particular concern this Labor Day weekend, as families converge on public land just as many cannabis crops are ready for harvest. The pot farms are not fly-by-night operations. Growers cut down trees and terrace canyons to create plantations big enough for tens of thousands of plants. They apply pesticides and herbicides, some not approved for U.S. use. They dam or divert streams and hook together miles of PVC piping to build irrigation systems, some rigged to sophisticated timers. Each camp is typically tended around the clock by guards who may be equipped with assault rifles, night vision goggles, walkie-talkies, and radios to monitor law enforcement chatter. In other news, R.J. Reynolds and Philip Morris are reporting that the Carolina farmers growing their tobacco crop are right on schedule. Miller Coors and Anheuser-Busch report that the hops farms of eastern Washington and northern Idaho are producing a favorable crop. E&J Gallo and Constellation Brands tell us that the Napa Valley Vineyard should produce a fine harvest of wine grapes this year. When asked how many of their farms were located in remote, hard-to-access public forest lands tended by armed illegal immigrants who terrace the land and poison the soil, representatives from these companies looked at this reporter as if he was psycho and asked, "What the hell are you smoking?" To which this reporter replied, "A crop worth more than all your crops combined." The journal goes on to note how the Mexican cartels have stepped up U.S. production of marijuana in public lands because of the increased U.S.-Mexico border security and how the states have fewer resources to go after them because of the depressed economy. If only we could come up with a way to relieve states of that burden while simultaneously funneling millions in new tax revenue into their treasuries.
want to win people over, you can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
NormalCon 2009. Yes, We Cannabis. September 24th through 26th, 2009, in San Francisco, California.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure. And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree.
I think it's time for debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary, and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy, the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling while promoting the message of reform. To donate your song for possible use on the stash, enter it in the next Marijuana Music Awards contest today. It's Rockin' Thursday, and we're listening to Sativa Sanctuary by Happy Bones. The band have been playing their jam-style rock music since 1996. They love what they do and say they won't ever be stopping. Happy Bones says, quote, "Music is a living, breathing thing. Each song has a life of its own. Music is life," end quote. The band travels and performs as much as possible. Check out more about Happy Bones at myspace.com/happybonesmusic and enjoy Sativa Sanctuary by Happy Bones.
Everything you've ever done to me, you took away my weed, and I can't forgive. And you think that you will control me, keep what's bad from me. Yeah, you're such a fool. And I will find my own way. I will stay here every day inside of my sativa sanctuary, my sativa sanctuary. In my mind, in my mind, yeah. Everything you've ever learned from me, still I wonder why they all believe. But they can't stifle me. I'm gonna tell the truth, yeah, truth about you. And I will find my own way. I will stay here every day, yeah, inside of my heart. Sativa sanctuary, my sativa sanctuary. In my mind, brother knows the truth. He tries to hide it from you. Come on and know the truth. They denied the sacred medicine. They created the worst sin against humanity. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
The California Marijuana Report for the week of August 31st, 2009. I'm Eric Brenner. This week, a 33-year-old medical marijuana patient busted in Contra Costa County for growing 907 marijuana plants. And we speak to Stoner Dude, whose artwork was included in the documentary, a.k.a. Tommy Chong, only on the California Marijuana Report. On August 24, 2009, the Contra Costa County Narcotic Enforcement Team was busy searching a home in Pleasant Hill, where they found more than 900 budding marijuana plants. Police arrested 33-year-old medical marijuana patient Shiloh O'Neill. The Contra Costa County Times says that authorities were, quote, acting on tips from several informants. Investigators from the multi-agency team searched the home. What makes this case so relevant is 3 days later on August 27th, the story of J.C. Dugan broke, a young girl who was kidnapped by a serial rapist back in 1991 and held hostage for 18 years in the backyard of Philip Garrido. Garrido, a lifelong parolee for his vicious crimes, was visited in 2006 by Contra Costa County deputies after neighbors complained about people living in his backyard. The deputies never bothered to search Garrido's backyard. At a hastily called press conference, Contra Costa County Sheriff Warren Ruff was forced to admit his officer screwed up.
On November the 30th, 2006, we missed an opportunity to bring earlier closure to this situation. A caller to our 911 dispatch offered that there were tents in the neighbor's backyard, that people were living in them, and that there were young children. The caller also said that Garrido was psychotic and had a sexual addiction. We made contact with Mr. Garrido in the front yard of his home. The responding deputy determined that there was not any criminal misbehavior, warned Mr. Garrido that there were code restrictions with regards to living outside in a residential neighborhood. He did not enter nor request to enter the backyard. This is not an acceptable outcome.
No, it's not acceptable, Contra Costa County Sheriff Warren Ruff. What do you mean your officers didn't bother to search Garrido's backyard? Even though there were people saying, look, there are voices coming out of tents in his backyard. You're damn right you missed an opportunity. And J.C. Dugan suffered another 3 years of captivity because of the incompetence of your department. How dare you have it together enough to search the backyard of 33-year-old Shiloh O'Neill, who was growing 907 marijuana plants in her home. Not only did you help bring misery to the family of J.C. Dugan, to J.C. Dugan and her two children, forced to live in tents in the backyard, you could have brought this situation to a close, Contra Costa County Sheriff Warren Roof, 3 years ago. But no, your men and women were real busy over the years searching people's backyards who were growing pot. And on August 24th, 2009, 3 days before the story broke here about J.C. Dugan living in the backyard for 18 years, your men and women, your good men and women at the Contra Costa County Sheriff's Department were searching the backyard and the home of 33-year-old Shiloh O'Neill, a medical marijuana patient. Congratulations, Sheriff Warren Roof. You've earned the title of the California Marijuana Report's Dirty Bum of the Week.
I got the bad news this morning. I think I'm gonna have to leave right away.
In 2003, cultural icon Tommy Chong was sentenced to federal prison for selling bongs. He served 9 months. I recently interviewed a guy named Stoner Dude, whose artwork was included in the documentary A.K.A. Tommy Chong, chronicling Chong's legal nightmare. Stoner Dude, thanks for joining us on the California Marijuana Report. How did your artwork end up in A.K.A. Tommy Chong?
I did a picture of Tommy Chong, a cartoon, of him behind bars. Real simple idea, and other people did it too. And just wrote Free Tommy Chong and made this cartoon figure behind bars. Something I could do relatively quick and get out there. And I made t-shirts and made flyers and all kinds. Anything I could do to get this out there. I'm sure he's probably going to get a lot of mail in prison. I want to get his address. And this is like right a week, right when he was convicted and actually going into jail. It was like right when it happened. It's the first thing that came across my mind. And I sent him a copy of the artwork, and I didn't think much about it. You know, you put something in the mail, you just kind of wait and see what happens kind of thing. Less than a month later, I get a letter in the mail that day back to me. And it said from POW Thomas B. Kin Chong. That's his full name. And POW, prison of war, because that was his own description, comedic description, and what he wrote back to his fans of, he was a prisoner of war. This is our war. This is a war we deal with every day.
Stoner Dude, also an accomplished drummer and songwriter. His band is called Bong. These guys are all from San Leandro, California, from the album Homegrown. Here's Rowdy Skank, only on the California Marijuana Report. Thanks for tuning in and toking up with the California Marijuana Report. Special thanks to Bong, Quicksilver Messenger Service, and, of course, NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Please join our group on Facebook. I'm Eric Brenner for the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you for downloading the NORML Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.norml.org. For everyone here at NORML, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today with thanks yet again for all the pledges in the El Jefe Hot Wings Eating Contest from last Saturday. Just got the receipt in from Winder, or Winder, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, with the winning pledge of $420. That's right, $21 per wing, up to 20 wings. $420 that is going to help so much here in getting NORML Show Live off the ground. Already, your donations have helped us to purchase a line amplifier for the studio, a professional mic for the co-host, licensing of various pieces of software that we need to run the show, and provided some funds for us to get some advertising in various magazines and the Talkers magazine, which is the talk radio Bible. So thanks to all of you, and make sure to tune in on Saturday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, for NORML Show Live. It's available at live.normal.org, or you can listen on your phone by dialing 347-994-1810. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.